Wow, that's an anointed mic. It's full of oil. Our cup runneth over here. Yeah, dear. We had a breakup yesterday in one of our ministries out of the house, and we were at Majimba Park. And I had not yet. Thanks, Lovie. And I had not had the download of what the Lord really wanted to share. And there was a beautiful husky dog, a young husky dog that was a part of this party that we were sharing this pavilion with. And the owner came, well, the owner started cooking for them on this barbecue, and he had walked over near the dog, and the dog kind of yodeled. You know, they don't really bark that well, you know, the huskies, but you kind of yodeled its disapproval. You've come over next to me, but you didn't bring the food, Dad. And he went, hey, it's coming. And the dog kind of went, wah, wah, and then just sat. And he went over, and this dog watches his owner, and he gets a plate, and he comes over, and the dog is just as, you know, anxious to get, but it's so well-behaved, and he just does this command, you know, waits, puts it there, the dog doesn't do anything, and then he just says a command, and the dog eats. And the Lord really spoke to my heart that he's looking for two things, and the two things I want to share on. He reminded me that we had we call it the round table, where we have different prophetic voices gather weekly on Thursday mornings, and they come from near and far and different fellowships, and it's quite a rich time in the Lord. But really this Thursday were these two highlighted areas or attributes that God wants in our life. I believe we're going into some amazing days. And if you look at Psalm 18 and Psalm 118, it's actually a manual of what's happened in 2018. The fires and earthquake are mentioned in Psalm 18 amazingly. And we've endured magnitudes of earthquakes at a far shocking rate. And the magnitudes, it's not the number of earthquakes that's happening, it's the magnitude of earthquakes that's starting to increase, that 7.2, 8.2 numbers that are starting to be seen. And what's happened in our own state in California and the amazing fires that people have battled and found loss, even in our ranks here. We have relatives of people in our own ranks that have lost everything in the fires up north. And you know, God's transitioning us in a wonderful way into 2019, which will not be like 2018. I encourage you to read Psalm 19 and 119 in correlation with 2019. I encourage you to read Psalm 20 and 120 in correlation with 2020. That's not what I'm going to share on this morning. I don't have time. But I want to talk about humility and obedience. Humility, a stance of humility, causes an effect of obedience. You cannot have obedience if you're not humble. They go hand in hand. There's a direct correlation, a direct connection. And we've had in Scripture an amazing truth expounded to us in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, 5 through 8. The whole chapter's wonderful. Matter of fact, the whole Bible's wonderful. You already know that. And it's hard just to stay in one verse, isn't it? They're just so rich, and they just unfold. Eh? God's cross-referencing to our life. But the kenosis of Christ, where Christ empties himself and becomes, he humbles to the will of the Father and is obedient to go to the cross and raise from the dead and sit on the right hand of the Father and rule and reign. You know, the kenosis is an amazing study, and that's kind of the term given to this passage. But let's just read a little bit, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Stop. Let this mind be in us, who is the reader. You know, I love how God just makes relationships so available. Aren't you glad we serve a God who has eyes and ears and mouth and speaks and communicates and listens and sees? His eyes go to and fro the earth. Aren't you glad you got a God who's alive and real? Yeah, I remember being in Fiji, and I was invited to this Hindu family's house for dinner, and they had a replica of a temple, and they had these little rocks painted, you know, this look like little rocks, literally. And I said, "What are those?" And they said, "They're our gods." I said, "Such tiny gods," you know. But I wasn't trying to be smart, even though I was, but they were, they're little, you know. But you know, we serve an amazing God who extends, and He says, "Hey, I want this belief. I want this understanding. Matter of fact, I'm going to make it available. You can understand this. You can have the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men." We know through the Old Testament study that when you had a slave that served a master, and that master would grant that slave freedom, there were those slaves that wanted to love and show their love and affection to their master by being a free man who chose to serve that master for the remainder of days. And they would take this you know, awl and put them up against the doorpost. And it's a beautiful illustration of what we choose. God's made us free. We have a free will. But because I have this free will, I learned very quickly that to make Jesus my Lord and Master is the best choice of service a man or woman could choose. And so I willingly say, you know, I can choose anything. There's so much, you know, diverse choice. Have you ever been to America and gone through the peanut aisle or the peanut butter aisle? Or how about the cereal, all three cereal aisles? Why do we have to have three aisles of cereal? And that kind of transfers into our thinking, our theologies and doctrines and isms and is. There's only one smart choice, and that's to allow ourselves to become free men and women by giving ourselves over in humility and obedience to say, "Not my will. I want your total will, God, for my life. Take this, you know, prophetic all, if you will, Jesus, pierce my heart, not my ear." Yeah, I relate to what Peter says. You know, when Peter finally gets a revelation of why Jesus needs to wash his feet, in Luke 17, when he finally gets, it's not Luke 17, that's another verse. But anyway, in washing the disciples' feet, Jesus shows this amazing humility. And in his pride, in his misunderstanding, you know, Peter's the first to talk. I relate to Peter. You know, it doesn't go through his brain. He's just talking. He said, No. I know who you are, and who, because of who you are, you can't do that. You can't wash my feet. He says, "Man, you don't let this happen, you can't have no part with me." Oh, wait a minute. Okay, how about the head? Don't forget the hands. Just do the feet. Just do the whole thing. Give me a bath. Peter has this wake-up moment. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was an amazing illustration even at a young age. He's so humble, he's so obedient. And we have the first Amber Alert. In America, this little girl named Amber went missing, and they had developed a system, you know, to show or share that a child was missing, and they were trying to find this missing child in the United States. And they now call that Amber Alert. And if there's an Amber Alert, they have these big billboard signs, digital, and they'll start describing the child, and everybody in the United States tries to help to find this, recognize this missing person, and try to get that child safely back in the arms of God. of his or her parents. Jesus was the first Amber Alert. He goes missing for 3 days. His parents, you know, are doing their thing. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41, into early 50s of the verse, and he's gone. It takes him a day to realize their relatives and friends. It must have been an exciting time. They realize it takes him 3 days to find him. And they rebuke him. You know, don't you know what you've done to our heart? You've made us anxious. We've been anxiously searching for you. And he says to them, wouldn't you know I'd in my Father's house? Wouldn't you know that I would be in my Father's house? And interestingly, it says, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Even when his parents missed it, Jesus submits himself to them, not letting them stay and hang out at the temple, but he obeys them. Hey, we got to go home. We're going to go home. Even in his adolescence, Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Jesus humbled himself, and he's water baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. It's the start of his ministry. It's the push for what we celebrate as the miraculous age of his ministry. 3.5 years, he just healing scores of people, miracles that have never been seen. Hey? Still doing miracles, never been seen. I was in an amazing service in Newcastle, New South Wales. Watched a Filipino man that had never talked, never heard in his life. His ears popped open. His tongue was loosed. He was speaking babble. He went to be educated through TAFE to learn English and began to learn his own Tagalog national dialect of the Philippines. You know, I've seen a man that has surgically implanted rods in his back move all sorts of ways he's not supposed to move. Went to the doctor, and he was totally healed, and all the rods, I kid you not, were gone, disappeared. They could not find a rod in his back. And that same service that happened in Newcastle years and years ago. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus is the miracle-working God. He's the Lord of the angel armies. And in John 13, there we go, not Luke 17. John 13, Luke 17 is about the 10 lepers that were healed and only one came to thank him out of his humility. He's the one that comes back and starts to thank Jesus for the healing he received. 9 took their healing and went. But in John 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And he tells them, hey, you wash each other's feet. And everyone's wondering right now if the attendants are going to come and bring the basins of water and you take your shoes and sock off. And we're not doing that this morning. But it would be a good exercise to do. Humility is so recognizable when it's put up against pride. A person that is stubborn or prideful or rebellious will never submit to a Lord Jesus Christ in their life, thinking they have enough or full or smart or capable or rich or... Hebrews 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. I've always wondered about that verse because Jesus never sinned. Jesus was born with no sin. He never sinned. Why do you have to suffer? You know, suffering is part of the human life on earth, and Jesus became totally human. It says that he can relate to all of our sufferings because he himself suffered. You know, Jesus wanted to relate to humanity to know, you know, and realize, and for us to realize the amazing love of the Father, the amazing love of the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus still suffered even though he was sinless. And through that suffering, he learned obedience to the Father. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, when he's dripping sweats of blood, a scientific recognized very rare medical condition of amazing anxiety on the body. And Jesus, you know, was saying, hey, if this cup can pass, if we can do it another way, but not my will be done. Do you know, we want to obey God in the big. How many want to obey God in the big moment? The moment we've all been looking for. Raise your hand. Look around. Let everybody be counted, eh? I want to obey God in the big thing, but I realize this more and more. I'm not going to obey God in the big thing unless I learn obedience in the little thing. It's the platform of God in my life to say, I want you to learn humility here. I want you to obey my voice in this little thing that no one will ever know except me. God training my heart to have ears to listen to the Master's voice. Proverbs 22:4, obey the Lord, be humble. Again, obedience and humility mingled together. Obey the Lord, be humble, and you will get what? Riches, honor, and a long life. You know, I don't obey God and obedient to God to get riches. I don't have any riches yet, but I'm rich in him. It's beyond, you know, the season we're going into, that we're talking about the amazing Holy Ghost moment where he impregnates a virgin, and we have Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, come, and we celebrate his coming. But how did he come? How did he live his life after he come? He came with humility and obedience. And we're admonished in Philippians, let this same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in me. Let the same lifestyle be my portion, 1 Peter 5:5-6. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you. Thank you this morning for putting clothes on and coming together in fellowship. Thank you for wearing clothes. But you had a choice. You actually chose what you're wearing this morning. Clothe is to have a choice in. Again, it's a free will. It's an expression to humanity to put on, to choose to put on humility in our life. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Humble yourself, be humble towards one another. Oh, I thought it was just I had to be humble with Jesus. No, actually, we have to show humility towards one another. Humility is defined in Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 11. We read verses 5 through 8. I'm going to read 1 through 4 and 9 through 11 here in a minute, but the definition is played out that, you know, when you prefer someone more than yourself, it's an act of humility. It's actually an act of obedience. Do you know that humility and obedience are agents to kill my desire that wants to exalt itself above the desire of God in my life? Very easy for me to love the lovable, which is all of you. But what about loving the unlovable? But what about walking in humility to those who are in amazing pride? Those who show no courtesy, no honor, no attempt at service, but selfishness. How about those in our lives that God so aptly has placed to ambush myself? To highlight that It's not a better me that I need, it's a debtor me. Jesus, the servant of all. See if there is any encouragement in Christ, verse 1, Philippians 2, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affliction and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, which is pride, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Ouch. That hurts. Can I tell you that in 2019 and 2020, those that walk in true humility and obedience will shine with the glory of God. It'll be drastically noticeable to our world, because our world is talked about in Scripture that every man's doing what's right in their own eyes, which is a position of ultimate pride and disobedience to God's word. That world's not going to get better. It needs to be saved. It can't become better without Christ. And the ones who love Christ in us, in this season, as we learn humility and obedience by God's scenarios and situations, we start to allow this wonderful light and salt to be experienced by those around us who are in desperate need of an example. We are the evidence that God is real by allowing humility and obedience to be applied to our life in growing proportion. Because the church without spot or wrinkle, I can tell you, is going to be in full humility and obedience to Christ. So in this portion of Scripture, when we count others more significant than yourself, let each one of you look at only to his own interests. Don't look at your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I want you to look at your neighbor right now, and especially the one you're not married to or related to. It's enough looking. No talking. No talking. Only looky looky here. You're going to need that person. You're going to need somebody in this room. You're going to need one another. We need to prefer one another. We're going to have to look at each other's interests in a growing way, everybody. Acts 4 will kind of be the mandate or kind of the lifestyle. You know, it's an oxymoron to follow Jesus in that we compartmentalize, we separate things and say, light will come, then darkness, then light. No, light and darkness will coexist to the end of the age. And even past the millennial reign, I can show you Scripture, where there'll be those that will resist a loving, pure, amazing Son of the living God ruling and reigning out of Jerusalem. They'll still resist him. So it goes beyond into the next stage. But we're going to need one another. We are setting ourselves up. God's trying to bring us, you know, into a mature state. I had a prophetic word for the prophetic table, and I was the first in line to receive this prophetic word that came out of my mouth. It is time to stop wearing nappies and wear big boy and big girl underwear. Stop making messes. It's time for us to mature, to rise up. And can I say, to embrace humility isn't weakness. You know, it is amazing weakness. I need to humble myself and embrace a loving, stronger, smarter God, creator. And I need to honor the God who shows himself as real to your life as well. I need to honor his sons and daughters in my life he's placed me with. I honor them by humbling myself and looking to your interest as well as my own, but not mine only. Verse 9 through 11, we read 5 through 8. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is high and lifted up. He's an amazing example. He's our friend. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's the only way. There is no other way to submit ourselves to have His mind, to have His commandments alive in our life, being fulfilled through His love. Loving God, loving people, humbling ourselves, but then allowing God, as we humble ourselves, to being led by Him, to be obedient to what His call is in our life. Everyone, it's going to be an amazing finish to a year that personally I'm glad to see go bye-bye. But I am looking forward to 2019 and 2020 with its troubles and its scenarios and its situations and its humbling points and its learning curve with the use of suffering. It doesn't go away. But to see the beauty of Him being reproduced in your life and my life, for us to be brought to another graduated level of passing the tests that He allows to happen in our life, to be brought into a fuller awareness, assurance of maturity, that's exciting to me. To see us walking with His light, to be those that would humbly deny ourselves and go to the nations that are in this soil and on foreign soil. To be those that would humble ourselves and obey God, to love some of our family members that aren't always lovely over Christmas dinner, over a New Year's celebration, doing things, saying things that are not Christ-like. However, there I am in the midst, being, if I could say, Christ's extension in the midst of the world acting like the world. Here is the sons and daughters of the living God offering humbly and with obedience a different way to live, waiting for His return. Let's pray. Lord, we just praise You and thank You that You would lead us and guide us continually into more truth, all truth. You are truth. Lord, I thank You for Your humility. We embrace humility. Lord, we say we want to clothe ourselves, and we choose to do that this morning. We clothe ourselves with humility, the humility of Christ. Lord, we ask You teach us and train us in, Lord, the scenarios we're in to be obedient to You. And Lord God, we thank You, Lord, that we are those that will have an extraordinarily long, long life, whether in this body or the new body. Lord, it's a long life in You. We praise You and thank You for this season. We can celebrate Your gift of Jesus. May we fall head over heels, deeper in love with You, Jesus, with one another. We praise You and thank You that every need that's here represented. Lord, You're the need matcher. Lord, You're the one who is exceedingly abundant in things You do. I thank You that no one would feel lonely because they have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You would embrace hearts this morning. I praise You and thank You, Lord God, that we'd all be found fully mature when it's all said and done in You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want any prayer, elders will be available to my left to pray with you. I can't remember, Christine, are we having prophetic team? Yep. So we have prophetic ministry right over here to my right if you want some prophetic ministry encouragement in your life, in your day. God bless you. Hey, here's an idea. The person you looked at, we don't want them to be scared going to cafe. Give them a hug or a high five. Tell them Jesus loves them, and you'll be there for them. God bless you.